So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also doesn't talk much about the Vedas per se. So when we talk about Shastra, what is the parameter by which we decide what is Shastra? Yes. Aneka Shastram Bahude Ditavyam Alpascha Kala Bhavyascha Vigna Tatsara Bhutam Tadupasitavyam Hamso Yatha Sangha. So what it says is, there are aneka shastram, there are many, many scriptures. And bahuveditavyam, that each of them, each of the verses in scripture can be interpreted in many ways. They're much interpreted not just in terms of speculation, but it can have many levels of meaning also. And alpashchakalaha, we have very little time. On top of that, bahuvashchaveginaha. You know, even when the time that we have, there's so many obstacles. We start studying scripture, suddenly our cell phone rings. We start studying scripture and suddenly maybe a child or grandchild comes and wants to play. So we, because the scriptures are so big, their import is so deep, because our time is so little, because our obstacles are so many, so therefore, rather than attempting an exhaustive study of scripture, tatsarabhutam tadupasitavyam, therefore focus on the essence, cherish that. And just as a hamsa focuses on milk, takes the milk out of the water and uses that. So broadly speaking, scripture is essentially scripture is God's guideline to humanity to elevate our consciousness. Just as God has provided us knowledge, arranged for the provision of food, of water, of air, of heat, light. So just as all these are the necessities of life and God has provided for them, similarly, knowledge is also a necessity of life. And God has provided for that also. So that means from the basic understanding of God and His provision, we can infer that God will provide knowledge also. And that knowledge comprises a revelation, scriptures, which are the revealed knowledge coming from God. Now within this, God recognizes that different people are at different levels and He gives guidelines for which they can be elevated. So the broad Vedic message can be categorized into three categories. There is Karma Kanda, there is Jnana Kanda, and there is Upasana Kanda, or there is Bhakti. So Karma Kanda focuses primarily on how we can religiously enjoy this world. We can do certain punya, we can do certain activities by which we will get good results and we can enjoy this world. Jnana goes to, so if you consider a pendulum, karma is one extreme of the pendulum. We do dharma and enjoy. Jnana is the other extreme of the pendulum, which is, this world is a place, a temporary place, it's a place of illusion, of bondage. Get out of this world. And renunciation is the focus. And then the balance stage is bhakti, where we understand that this world is meant neither for my enjoyment, nor is it meant for my renunciation. It is meant for God's service. So in karma, people romanticize the world. In jnana, people demonize the world. In bhakti, we utilize the world.
Where does jnana
come? So jnana comes in the marga. I'll come to the point. Wait a minute. See, the significant difference between jnana itself and jnana kanda or jnana marga. Jnana marga, the path of jnana, it focuses primarily on knowledge and on the renunciation of the world. The path of bhakti focuses on utilization of the world. Now, within bhakti, there is karma and jnana both. But so it's the words have to, when we talk about karma marga, that is different from karma itself. So karma, if you just use it generically to mean action, and jnana to mean generically knowledge, then karma and jnana are both included in bhakti. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrutam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. So karma and jnana are both uncovered, purified, and then they are utilized in bhakti. But jnana marga itself means, which focuses on primarily on renunciation of the world. So the Vedas, in terms of the four samhitas, Rig, Sam, Yajur, Atharva, the Ved samhitas, they primarily focus on karma kanda. The Upanishads, they focus primarily on jnana kanda. And that's why within, if you look from the Vedas to the Upanishads strongly reproach many of the sacrifices that are glorified in the Vedas. Down with the sacrifices, down with the sacrifices. They are all temporary. They will keep you in the realm of darkness. So there's eight verses like that in the Upanishads. So the point is there is gradual elevation from karma towards jnana. When one comes to the level of, initially when a person is materialistic, at least acknowledging that there is God exists and I should worship him, and thereby I will be able to at least I become some level pious, that is good. Then one says, okay, getting good things in the world is not the goal of life. I have to go beyond this world, that is jnana. But bhakti is, recognizes that yes, we have to go beyond the world, but going beyond the world doesn't mean rejecting the world. Because God or the absolute truth doesn't exist just beyond the world. The absolute truth is accessible even in this world. So Krishna says, swakaramanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manam. By your work, worship him, and thus you can attain perfection. So scriptures, there is karma kanda within it, jnana kanda within it, bhakti within it. So the Bhagavad Gita, it strongly points out the limitations of karma kanda and says that whatever we attain by it, it will be temporary. Tetam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam kshine punye martilokam vishanti. In 9.21, Krishna says that whatever we attain, even if we go to heavens, we will fall back from the heavens. Therefore, one should not strive for that. And Krishna talks about jnana relatively more positively, but there also he points out that renunciation is not practical. He says that sharira yatra pichate na prasiddheda karmana. So renunciation means, what he is talking about is, within bhakti there can be renunciation. That is different from the renunciation of jnana marga. Jnana marga means, one just renounces the world, goes into a forest and absorbs oneself in samadhi. Within bhakti, when we talk about renunciation, whether it's the vanaprastha ashram or the sannyasa ashram or the brahmacharya ashram, there the focus is not so much on renouncing the world, the focus is on serving Krishna. And the different ashrams, brahmacharis also quite often stay in the world. Sannyasis in fact travel so much in the world. So the point is, they're not rejecting the world. They are using the world in Krishna's service and they're guiding others how to use the world in Krishna's service. So the Bhagavad Gita focuses primarily on bhakti. The Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, and with those 18 chapters, the first 6 chapters talk about how karma culminates in bhakti. The last 6 chapters talk about how jnana culminates in bhakti. The middle 6 chapters focus primarily on bhakti. So the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihasas, all of them come in the ambit of Shastra. But the Acharyas have explained that we should focus on those books which talk about that which is most immediately relevant to us, that which is most potent in elevating us. And that's why, under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, we focus on the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the primary scriptures for us. The Bhagavad Gita basically tells us sadhya and sadhana. What is the goal? That is Krishna. And what is the means? That is bhakti. And the Bhagavatam elaborates more on the sadhya and sadhana. Who is Krishna? So his pastimes are described in detail in 90 chapters of the 10th canto, and many avatars are described in the Bhagavatam. And bhakti, how is that to be practiced? That sadhana, that is also described elaborately through the examples of various devotees. So Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, these are primary scriptures, and then the books that elaborate the teachings of those, they, for example, those which talk more, explain more about Krishna, those which talk elaborately about how to practice bhakti, they are expansions of the scriptural canon. But scripture essentially means the Vedic body, the Vedas, Puranas, the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas and Itihasas. And among them, the most relevant for us in Kali Yuga is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavata. Does it answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.